Greetings, precious students. Glory be, I adore you. I am Sanat Kumara, Melchizedek Venus. God bless you all for being here today in our October podcast. So I shall allow the first student to ask question. Please state your name clearly and your question. Thank you.
This is Jim, and my question is, in your 3D life, there are many things that cause you to care about the outcome. It could be a family member, or it could be a job work situation. How can you care about the outcome of something like that without attaching to that outcome?
Thank you, Jim. God bless you, son, for that question. So Jim's question is, when one is concerned about following through in their spiritual journey, according to what would be most appropriate in their inner guidance, and then yet they are also looking at outside. They are looking at their life in what I call Rome. And they know they have loved ones that they care about. They know that there are people that they have become very, very dear and near to them. His question is, how do you continue your own journey and not become attached to what happens to their outcome? So you all know you are aware of that word attachment. Attachment comes in the lineup of what I consider to be human element of Mr. Brain, Mr. Ego, and of course me, and the me means that person on your driver's license. So you look at all of these people you love. You look at all these people you care about, and you're concerned for their journey. Of course you're concerned because you have conditional love. You came on this planet to experience conditional love. There's nothing wrong with conditional love. We don't go out the gate saying that something's wrong. We go out that gate and we ask that which created us, is there a more beneficial way to look at all of this? So we watch these people we love and we say, now, how can I watch them with this love and not attach to what is going on in their life? Am I responsible for what's going on in their life? Where do I draw that line of a healthy boundary? What is my place in their life? And then I'll also bring up one word, which is going to grab the listener in a good way. You've all heard the word selfish. Now, the very second your brain hears the word selfish, he automatically steps back and says, no. Not me. I'm not going to be selfish. Goodness, I would not ever want anyone to call me selfish. I'll show the planet how big I am, how big my heart is, how open I am, how much I care, how much I'll give, and I'll give, and I'll give. God forbid that anyone should call me selfish. Now, again, we look at conditional love. And we look at the planet, and we look at the people we love, and then we look at the people we care about, and we know, oh dear God, do not let me be selfish with these people I love. I want them to know I love them. I want them to know I care about them. And I come along, Sanat Kumara, and I say, are you honoring heart? Or are you appeasing Mr. Brain? Are you honoring heart? Or are you making sure Mr. Brain is good to go? He feels good about himself. He knows he did the best thing possible. He knows he took care of all those people he loves. No one's gonna say he didn't care. No one's gonna call him selfish. God forbid. And I go back and I look at the student and I say, did you honor your heart? And the student looks at Sanat Kumara and says, I don't understand. I don't understand. How can honoring heart be different than what my brain tells me, that I can't be selfish? I've got to go help them. I've got to go make sure everything's going to be okay for them. I've got to make sure they're going to be all right. Isn't that what I'm supposed to do? And I say to that person, did you honor heart? And they look at me and they say, I don't know what that means. And I say to them, did you ask before you enabled? Did you ask, Holy Creator, before you enabled that individual that you love? Did you ask Holy Creator, am I going in enabling them because I don't want anybody to call me selfish? I don't want anybody to look at me and say, I didn't do everything I possibly could to help them. God forbid that someone should say that about me. This is where the student of evolution will sit down and they will say, all right, perhaps I've got to look at some words here, Sanat Kumara. Maybe I've got to look at that word enabling. Maybe I've got to look at that word selfish. Both those words scare me. They scare me, Sanat Kumara. I don't really know what I'm doing. Healthy boundaries, Sanat Kumara, I don't know. It's a journey, students. It's a journey. To be able to come to the place that you can even allow the information that Sanat Kumara delivers to you now, that in itself shares with you that you are open and ready to learn more. There is always more, students of evolution. There is always more. There is a human way and there is a divine way. And therein lies your destiny, to figure out, how does heart want me to go about my business? What is most appropriate for me on this road of evolution? God bless you, son, for your question. Next question, please.
Hello, Sanat Kumara. My name is Judy. What is divine alignment, and how does one achieve it?
God bless you. God bless you, sweet one, for that beloved question. Divine alignment, and how does one achieve it? What is divine alignment, students? According to what I will share with you, you might read different variations on this phrase, divine alignment, and how does one achieve it? So let us first look at divine alignment, and I'm going to share with you how I visualize divine alignment. So one walks in as a human upon planet Earth, and within that human, there is what I call body, mind, and mind also includes emotions, and then spirit. So it shows you that you are automatically on this planet as a multidimensional individual. So body includes the physical expression that you all look at in your mirror. Mind and emotions include the thought process and the feeling world. You can't see them, but you're all aware of them. Mind and emotions. Thoughts, feelings. You're very aware of this. And then thirdly is the spiritual part of you, spirit. So that's that part of you that is not physical, that is not mental, that is not emotional. It is a spiritual part of you. Has nothing to do with what humans call religion or church. It has everything to do with that part of you that is beyond a human expression. And it is what I say that when one crosses over through the birth and death cycle, they move into what is called spirit. And their journey continues. They just went through a different doorway. They are no longer a 3D human experience. They have gone into a spirit experience and their journey continues. Now, when one seeks divine alignment in an incarnation, one is truly attempting to allow their divinity, that higher power within them, to balance their body, mind, spirit. Now, when we look at balance and harmonizing, we Sanat Kumara looks at the heart, the throat, and the third eye. So those are your three higher chakras. Actually, you have four higher chakras. Heart is smack dab in the middle of your vessel, your human body. Throat, of course, you all know where that is. And then third eye, you all know that's between those precious little eyebrows on that beautiful face of yours. You know that's called your third eye. It is your sixth chakra. You also have a seventh chakra called your crown. Now, I teach that divine alignment occurs between heart, throat, third eye. So heart is symbolic, students, of unconditional love. Divine feminine of the Godhead. This is how I teach it. Throat is symbolic of your joy. It isn't about your surface happiness. It's about your internal happiness. And that only comes as Mr. Brain up there in that third eye, behind third eye. It only comes as he arrives at peace of mind on perceptions that have stalled him in the past. So when I work with divine alignment, I am working with divine feminine in heart. Throat is joy. And third eye is divine masculine. And we are working with Mr. Brain on allowing divine masculine as well as divine feminine to balance his perception. He has many perceptions. Now, this is how I teach how one achieves divine alignment. They work with perceptions of less than. They have perceptions about, a myriad of subjects. And their brain looks at one subject or another, and he has an opinion, a perception on that subject. And more often than not, his perception on that subject is tied into birth and death cycle. So he continues to repeat an experience of birth and death. He continues this journey until Mr. Brain makes a decision. Perhaps there's more than the way I've guided my vessel. Perhaps there's more. And he opens to new information, which is what I teach. God bless you, sweet one. Third question, please.
Good morning, Sana Kamada. My name is Patty. Sometimes I think that I'm afraid of asking God what God wants for me because I'm afraid God's going to make me do something that I don't want to do. Can you expand?
God bless you, sweet one. As you can hear the sincere question, what if that part of me that is divine asks me to do something I don't want to do? Well, students, look at your life right now. Look at the journey that you have already lived. Look back over your shoulder quickly. Have there been things in your life that you had to do that you didn't want to do? Have there been things in your life that you had to walk through that you did not want to walk through? Do you look at Holy Creator? Do you look at your brain? Do you look at the people around you? Who do you hold responsible for doing what you did not want to do? That is the question that dominates the minds of humans on planet Earth. Everyone walks through this at one time or another. What if I have to do something I don't want to do? I will lay this in the precious laps of the listener. I cannot guarantee you that you will do things that you do not want to do. I cannot guarantee you that you will not be asked to walk through certain circumstances that perhaps you would not have originally chosen. I am not here to guarantee that for anyone who comes to Sanat Kumara. No. Rather, I will look at you and I will say to you, is there anything inside of you that says, maybe, just maybe, the human mind doesn't know it all? Maybe, just maybe, the human ego does not have all the answers? Maybe, just maybe, that person on my driver's license didn't understand everything in the best way possible. And I will look at that student and say, go within. Seek out divine wisdom in your heart and ask with every inch of your beingness in the sincerity that you are capable of, is there a better way? Is there a more appropriate way for me to go about my business? Could there be divinity that could guide me and show me answers that I could not find in my human mind? Is it possible? Is it possible? I say to you, your answer is yes. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. I thank you. I am Sanat Kumara Melchizedek Venus.